Ron, are we out live?
Ron, click it. Please.
Let me know when we're on. Yeah. All right. Back with my friend Leonardo. We have a very interesting story. I don't know where to begin. I mean, you've also been to this war room at Dan's house, but apparently assassinations are planned out.
Unbelievable. I never talked about it because what was the point? You know, that's just like you're just trying to like get attention. Oh, I know Dan Bilzerian, real retarded. But when I saw this, I was like, okay, now this is too much.
Yeah, no, it's just so over the top and insane. And the crazy part is,
let's tell the audience what happened, right? So Dan posted that he thinks Nick is a Fed and he doesn't trust him and he won't have anything to do with him anymore. And Nick didn't really have anything to say. He tried to tell Dan, you don't have an army, you don't have anything. He was flailing like a narcissist. And then he, in his political strategy genius that he is, decided that he was going to come up with this story about how he went to Dan Bilzerian's house with you. And Dan basically told him that, well, asked him if he knows how to assassinate Israeli officials. He asked a 128-pound twink gay podcaster what he knows about assassinating officials from one of the most militarily advanced states in the world.
Yeah.
And then Lucas Gage comes up out of nowhere and goes, oh my God, bro, the same thing happened to me. And the two of them just backed off of each other.
It's within minutes Lucas jumped on too. And we should add, people don't know, these are the two guys that have constantly pushed division. Lucas, is all he does is attack everyone, including Stu Peters, who you said you fell for the thing yourself.
I did. I was wrong. I apologize to Stu. I apologize. I thought Lucas was telling the truth, that he got scammed. Then he started attacking everybody. And I was like, okay, wait a second. And then he started making an about face about being like, oh, I'm not an anti-Semite anymore. And now this with Nick Fuentes is the last straw.
This is insane.
Yeah. Should we pull up the tweet so that people can see what we're talking about?
No, yeah, people just see this. This is like crazy. I was like talking to Nick right before this, and I saw that. I'm like, bro, this is insane.
So Nick called you, right? Right before he said this,
we were texting not long before this. I was still trying to like, he goes, Dan needs to like apologize to me. I'm like, bro, I don't think Dan should have called you a Fed because I didn't believe he was a Fed. I'm all, but he's not going to apologize. Maybe a little bit we can get on a phone call or something. And then he sent that out. And I'm just like, whoa, there's no.
Yeah, he's done. He's done. This is dead in the water right here.
Yeah. The first time I met Dan Bilzerian at his house, he had us put a phones in another room, then asked me how difficult it would be to assassinate Israeli government ministers. Then he invited me to Dubai and Qatar, which I declined. On the way, there was ambushed by the FBI. Yeah, why is the FBI ambushing us right after we talked to you, Nick? Holy fuck, Nick. I swear to God, he did the same thing. This was in minutes, by the way. This was in minutes he responded, like he was waiting. They like planned this. I swear to God, he did the same thing to me. He walked me and Jake up to that room with a batting cage. We put our phones on the couch and went and – why would he put our phones on the couch? It would still be where he listened. Went to the secluded room with the big TVs. Also TVs you can listen from. This is so retarded. He asked me about where Ben Shapiro lived and how he could be taken out. Like Ben Shapiro, like if there was a mastermind plan, Ben Shapiro, you think that's like a mastermind? Like give me a break. He's even dumber than Nick. At least Nick's like Israeli officials. Yeah, Ben Shapiro. And what, this is getting really weird, man. Scroll up. I wonder if anyone else had a similar. See, they're looking for like other people to like lie. I go on. They're looking for other people to lie. And then I guess originally, Lucas said he told one person. Then he's going on bringing on Anons and Adam Green, who is like clearly Adam Green. I don't know who that is. He's a guy who hates on Christianity. He's good friends with Adam King, who is Awesome Jew. So allegedly, Awesome Jew and Lucas are mortal enemies. But then Lucas is good friends with Adam. It's confusing his names. So Adam, I get them mixed up. Adam Green. So you're good friends with the guys that are best friends that absolutely hate him. It doesn't make any sense. The whole thing seems like a psyop.
So the whole thing is fake. So let's talk a little bit about.
Let me read this tweet real quick. Yeah, hold on. Go ahead. Quick. I only told one person about this, and they can't confirm it. It was the only weird thing about this trip. And what's the guy say? I think he's joining. I thought he wanted to just keep the phones away for his own protection to make sure I wasn't recording him or something. I didn't think of it as a big deal, but I did tell one person. So he says one person. Then last night he went on the space saying he told tons of people and had add-on and people that are like allegedly Jews going on confirming the story. To me, it seems like an obvious plan to take him down for the Randy Fine election.
This was completely coordinated between the two of them because they wanted to try to come up. Okay, first of all, number one, the reason people should not even trust Lucas Gage is people don't know that he has a story. What was his actual name before? It was like Antonio or something.
Do you know his name, Ron?
I have it here. I'll tell you guys right now.
Angelo.
That's right. That's right. So his name was Angelo Gage. About 10 years ago, he started appearing in spaces talking about the anti-Semitism problem. And he really just came out strong. There's old videos of this. I posted this on my Twitter account where you can go find the BitChute videos where he came in the same way he did here, super strong, making a huge ruckus. And then shortly after, he makes an about face, renounces anti-Semitism, says he doesn't want to do anything with those people, and changes his name to Lucas. Now, this, by the way, is a common tactic that is employed many times to try and discredit the anti-Semites who start noticing things. Because what the Jews want to do is they want to hold these people up as examples like, look, they were stupid, too. And then they progress to a higher level of knowledge. Well, you tell me when you find a more coordinated group than this tribe that is actively working to dismantle America, where we have video footage of them meeting at their congresses. There is nothing higher. Got it? So it's an example. So normally when people do this, they just disappear and they never come back again and you never hear from them again, right? They just go away and they're held up as an example for a little while about like, look, you can progress too and there's a way back. Lucas is one of the first ones to do this twice. To come back now again, came out strong on X. If everybody remembers, he was burning the Talmud. He was getting doxxed. He was vocal. He was raging. He really was, you know, a low IQ anti-Semite, exactly. Since everybody wants to say that, right? It was a way to really, I mean, people then associated, if you were a normal person, you'd be like, man, this is a little bit unhinged. This is a little crazy. Now, remember that Lucas was saying a lot of true things. He was saying things about the way that the Jews were subverting us and the things they had done. So this is part of the thing. You can't just come out here and be a crazy lunatic and not say things that are true because the people who know the truth aren't going to listen to you. It's a honeypot for people who actually know the truth to get sucked in and get siloed into a dead end. Mm-hmm. And then what did he do? Very shortly, he did an about face. He started attacking people within the movement. He came up with this whole story. First thing was attacking Stu Peter, saying he did a rug pull when really he just was an idiot and doesn't know how to invest because he's a retarded Neanderthal Italian. No offense to the Italians. No offense to the Neanderthals either. he did an about face and then started attacking everybody that he all of a sudden had all these purity tests for. He attacked you because you did a gambling ad. He attacked lots of people, right? Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, maybe this guy's really upset because he feels like people aren't living up to their morals. Fine. Now he's come out as he's seen the light. He was wrong about his anti-Semitic past. He's renouncing it. So now we have the same thing. So this is your source, by the way. This is your source that's backing up Nick Fuentes. This is all he could find, okay, because Nick didn't have a source. Now, that's damning evidence number one. Damning evidence number two, another person who was at the meeting posted video, a short video showing Nick in the room, Dan in the room, you in the room, everybody in the room, and the phones are in the room. Let's see if we can find that, Ron. I posted it.
Yeah, my producer, hey, Ron or Christo, you got to help pull some stuff up. But
yeah, where are they doing? Get back in here, guys.
That was Hassan. I'm glad. See, look in the group text. See if I sent you. I don't know if I sent you that. There's one with Hassan, but there's another one I sent with us in the room, Lucas, like, this is the room it happened in. It's like, It's like, I don't know. I don't think we went to the room, but he has like a rec center. We're like playing around with our phones. He's filming it. So like, wait, this is the war room. You're such an idiot.
And yeah, they're such idiots. They don't know how to lie well.
Oh, this is it right here. Yeah.
Yep.
So I brought both. This is Hassan. Look at us. Yeah. So this is when he says we're planning assassination attempts. This is absolutely insane.
Let's see the video. Here we go.
Yeah. Everyone's got their phones hanging out.
Let's see. Phones on the table. Myron picks up his phone. That's Myron right in the corner. There's Nick. Everybody and the guy who's sitting over here filming clearly has his phone in his hand. Oh, really? Planning assassination attempts.
Yeah, no. Yeah, no, this is insane. And obviously that he would go to Nick. We would go to you before Nick. I think you're much more capable.
I appreciate that, by the way. I would probably be a better marksman and I wouldn't shoot you in the back. And I certainly as hell wouldn't snitch. Okay.
Shoot me in the back, I said. And the other person, Lucas Gage, do you know he's a PTSD and he's never saw, basically he's a welfare queen. He's never saw.
That's probably another scam, by the way. Also, somebody else just DM'd me that before Lucas Gage used to do this online psychic scam. I mean, come on, guys. Come on. You got to understand there's a lot of subterfuge because they're trying to silo young men and people who are noticing into a dead end, feel mm-hmm. like there's no one you can trust, feel like, okay, well, this is pointless. It's useless. Notice every time Nick deploys is when people are on the precipice of taking real life action.
Yeah.
So what are the major times Nick has deployed and totally broken character from his supposed number one noticer and against Jewish supremacy? The assassination of Charlie Kirk, when there was overwhelming evidence of Israel's involvement, he immediately just denounced it, said there's no evidence, and didn't actually give a good argument for it. While we had really good counter arguments, especially coming from Stu Peters, who highlighted that it was an explosive, it looked like an explosive device exploded. Then 2 weeks later, the facility that made those devices exploded.
He just came to my show and explained this. I had never heard that. And he broke it down really well. Like one of the shorts I put out went super viral because he breaks it down so well. It's like, wow.
I can text that to Ron if he wants to bring that up. So he deployed that. Right? He deployed then. When else did he deploy? He deployed when Jeffrey Epstein scandal was in everybody's attention and everybody was disgusted. We were disgusted. Yes, okay, it was the Jewish spying. But more than that, it was you were raping young girls and using them to blackmail our politicians. It would be one thing if he was just running a sex trafficking scheme and getting models and getting our politicians to have sex with them. That would be bad enough, but it's not the same thing as raping children. And what does Fed Boy Fuentes do? He comes out and says, technically, it's not pedophilia because they weren't five. How about we bash you over the head, you pedophile defender? Okay. Yeah.
I was so mad over that.
That's a pedophile.
No, I was so mad. That
you
sweater
have a daughter,
issue.
Right, Jake? You have a daughter.
Exactly.
And we if had somebody said about your daughter when she's 12.
I'm going to bash their head in.
No, you would bash
Nick
their head
in. Huge fallout over that, you know. And the funny part is Dan, of all people, is the one that got us to patch it up. I couldn't believe that Nick called me. I called him a homosexual the entire day, being serious. And then he called me like, hey, buddy, let's
Yeah, because his back was against the wall. Because so we're going to break down the psyche of Nick Fuentes soon, because he is a pathological narcissist. And I actually have evidence 100% to support this from his own words. So he deployed then. He defended old Jeffrey Epstein. He sold a quarter zip with Jeffrey and said, no, you guys
They're
don't get it.
They're still selling it.
You don't get it. No, I do get it. I know what you're doing. You're trying to make, you are the rebranding of Jeffrey Epstein from a creepy, disgusting, low-T pedophile who raped white girls to like, he had aura, which is a thing he said, by the way, which is a thing he said.
They were literally saying that. They're trying to make light of it. That's what pissed me off. You don't make light. This guy's like the face of world Jewry, supposed to be our enemy, and he wants to downplay it like it's not a big deal. Like,
not
no,
cool.
This is a disgusting pedophile. We're not going to make light of it.
He speaks with a forked tongue. Because on the same side that he's saying, no, the big deal is that we have a Jew who was spying on Americans, at the same time, he says it's not a big deal that it was like raping young girls. Sorry, guys, that is a big deal. That is the whole deal, actually.
Yes.
That's the whole deal.
I couldn't agree more. Raping little girls is a big deal. It's disgusting. I will never make light of Epstein. And I was enraged that he did
that. No, making light of Epstein helps him. Why would you do that unless you're a paid infiltrator? Okay. Number two. Now, here's the thing where there's a pattern of behavior with Nick Fuentes that should make everybody incredibly suspicious. And that is that any time white men start to actually organize in real life and take concrete actions that will actually advance and protect their rights, Nick countersignals them. He shits on them. He tells them how this is stupid. So he did it with Arvol, who's actually going through a legal process of creating a whites-only land, which, by the way, Jews have Jewish-only land. Yep. I mean, Tyler Oliveris just exposed that, okay? Yep. The blacks in Georgia were going to have their own little encampment, but they can't
they
build anything.
Jews are suing them, trying to shut it down. That's crazy.
And the Jews are suing Arvol, and he decides that he's going to say this guy's stupid. Mm-hmm. Don't do this. Okay. So you might be like, oh, that's one thing. No, there's more. He countersignaled Patriot Front.
Yep.
He told people don't join them. Oh, don't join a band of brothers who believe in America and are actually helping Americans who suffer, let's say, from hurricane disaster. I help
them clean up for the hurricane disaster. They're like such a good group of people. They get so much bad press.
But that's how you know.
12 hours working. And it felt really good to do that. I hadn't done hard labor in years with a group of brothers. And we were just like helping because there wasn't enough workers out there. And then we're demonized for that. And like, I've met some of these guys' families. I went and taught free seminars for them. It's like this. He's done an amazing job of building community. People don't have community. That's why they're suicidal. That's why they're addicted to drugs. It's like he's trying to fix this problem. And it's like, and Nick tax this guy.
That's correct. And so that should tell you, right? Because we've done some in real life meetings, right? We went to the AFU United. I've went to a few conferences. When you meet people in real life, there's a different sense. There's a sense of, ooh, these people are real. I'm not alone. There's people who want to work toward this. We can work together to achieve political power and reverse the destruction of our country. When you are online and you're just tweeting, these people are nothing. They don't really exist. Okay. Yeah. Also, doom scrolling, which is something that Nick told his fans is the best thing you can do, actually destroys your prefrontal cortex because it activates your lizard brain. And so you can't think critically, which means you can't come up with solutions to problems. So that's what Nick wants his people doing. He wants them weak. He wants them to hate women, not have families. He said being a family guy is gay. So he attacked Arvol, he attacked Patriot Front, and now this was the straw that broke the camel's back. And congrats, Nicholas J. Fuentes, you did this to yourself, and you are exposed because you wear the name of Christ as a suit skin. How dare you? He attacked Casey Putsch, the average, regular, everyday American who watched his state of Ohio be thrown to the wolves and said, you know what? I guess I have to do something about it. There are millions of people in the state of Ohio. Not a single one of them took it upon themselves to step up to the plate and say, I'm going to try something.
Yes.
And Nick shit on him. Now, I'm going to explain exactly why this is so important, because there is a pattern now, and it's so close that you can't miss it. What Nick did with Casey is exactly what he's doing with Dan right now. And I'm going to tell you what that is. Nick, first of all, countersignaled Casey and said he's not on the ballot. He lied. He explicitly lied 3 days before the Ohio primary. So Casey was challenging Vivek Ramaswamy for the GOP primary. He's a white Christian male who has helped children and kids out of college and helped them get jobs and mentored them. He was awarded National Honor Medal from both President Trump and President Biden. And he stepped up to the plate. So Nick said that. So Casey saw that and just really simply said, I am on the ballot. He knows this. I don't know why he's saying this. There was the narcissistic wound that happened. That is when Nick decided to go full on, and he thought he was going to destroy Casey because in his hubris and massive ego, he thought that he was untouchable.
Yep.
Joke's on you. God uses the small to humble the mighty.
He also went after Amy. Amy's trying so hard to do something. You know, she was a huge fan of Nick Fuentes. She spent years dedicated to him. She really wanted him there, invited him. He looked at it as a threat. oh, someone doing something without me. Oh, they use the name America First, United. You can't own America First. That's putting America first. You know, that was Charles Limbaugh. That's been used multiple times throughout history. And she
was trying
to actually make change. And they're making memes of like killing and raping her and her husband. I don't know if you see.
Yeah. That. So I'll tell you what's going on with that. So here, the thing with Nick is that he is a specific kind of narcissist. And I'm going to tell you guys exactly what that is, because it's pretty apparent once you see it. He is a cerebral malignant narcissist. So you have two different kinds of narcissists, those that are grounded in the body and those that are grounded in the brain. The ones that are grounded in the body care a lot about their physical appearance. So this might be Clavicler, for example. He might be a physical narcissist. I haven't studied him enough to know. But that narcissist cares more about what they look like, their appearance. They're very dedicated to that. That's obviously not Nick. All you do is got to look at him. He looks like a little fag. So he is a cerebral narcissist. Cerebral narcissists take a lot of pride in their brain power, in indicating that they are smarter than everybody else. And if you notice, Nick constantly calls other people stupid, tells them how much smarter he is. This is like really kind of disgusting. Genuinely intelligent people actually don't behave that way, and they don't say that, because actually intelligent people understand how much they don't know, and they have encountered people who actually know something more than they do in different areas. So they never assume that about themselves. So that's a classic first sign that he's a cerebral narcissist. The reason he is a malignant narcissist is because he is very sadistic, and he turns and snaps on people, even his biggest supporters, at any given time. So Amy B, an example, the AF Deplorables guy, who was his number one fan, spent a whole year clipping his channel, making him tons of money, getting him so much notoriety. And then he does a CNN interview, and he says he's not there representing Nick. He says he's not representing the Groypers. It's just him. And Nick attacks him with the ferocity that is unbelievable. Why? Because this guy was taking some of the limelight away, and he was becoming another face of Nick, and he didn't want that. Okay.
So that's like a god.
That's right. That's your classic sign of narcissist. Here's the other one. When a narcissist experiences an ego wound, as Nick has experienced from, you know, Casey calling him out on his lie, or Amy daring to have this event without his approval, right?
She invited him to get him to come.
He wanted all the power. So he went ahead and lashed out like a narcissist lashes out, crazy. Okay. He thought he was going to be able to crush Casey. So when Casey did this, he went and replied back and said, "I rest in piss. You lost. You're going to get destroyed." That was it. That was it. That's when it was over for him, because everybody came out. Everybody knew who Casey is, because we've met Casey. We see what he's doing. There was no scandal. There was no scandal in the Casey Putsch campaign. He raised about $120,000. He got 20% of the vote with that.
Yeah.
17.9%.
Versus millions of dollars.
Versus $50 million that Vivek Ramaswamy sent. In fact, Casey was giving him such a run for his money. He was building traction online that they started stifling his account, shadow banning him.
Wow.
And then Vivek put in $25 million of his own money to silence Casey. He quit social media. He came out and said, I'm not doing social media. He released a whole article. That was because of what was going on with Casey. So he gave him a run for his money. One guy with $120,000 gave a billionaire who's backed up by the whole tech, who got Trump's endorsement, Vance's endorsement, no problem. Okay. And what Nick says is rest in peace. No, faggot. You're going to rest in piss, actually.
No, exactly. It's just disgusting what he did. And it's going to backfire on him. His egomaniac. I told
it
him
it has backfired and it's over. Yeah.
Yeah. I told him if you could learn to work with people, it would actually help you too, Nick. Your narcissism, you want to be worshipped like a god. You can't. He doesn't care about America First. It's Nick.
No, he doesn't. He does not.
America First is America First. You don't own America First. It's not about Dan. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about putting our country first. Do you think Dan wants to run for office? And Nick put out some deranged like thing on his Telegram that like Dan wants to like steal his like fans. No one wants Nick's fans. Keep your fans,
yeah.
Nick.
We'll get to Nick's fans in a second. So when the Casey thing backfired on the cerebral malignant narcissist, he came up with a plan, because he didn't expect it to backfire, and no narcissist is going to come out and apologize and say I was wrong. So the plan that he came up with.
Let me add something real quick. He asked me to get Dan to apologize to him. Did I mention that earlier? Like, that's insane.
Cerebral malignant narcissist. He will not, he cannot admit his wrongdoing because it damages his ego, and therefore he has to do everything to preserve it. So what he did was he constructed a completely fabricated story about Casey, which now we see the pattern, right? Dan calls him out for his narcissism. He tries to do something. It doesn't work. He goes back to the drawing board, comes back with a fabricated story. So what is the fabricated story that Nick's deplorables pushed? I know. We are going to say this one guy came out and said Casey would snap at people. It was unbearable working with him. No evidence. Tons of people who've worked with Casey. I've been around Casey. He does not have that temperament to just snap around people. I can see when people have that. He doesn't have it. So a second guy comes out and goes, I was on the thing. He had no intention of winning. He was using this. This is the lie. He was using this to boost his social media presence. Interesting. A guy who'd already been on Tucker Carlson, who was known for inventing a car that could get like, I think it was like 100 miles per gallon on diesel and was already popular, was boosting his social media presence by making himself incredibly unpopular by challenging a GOP favorite. It was a lie.
Yeah.
It was a lie. I called them out on that lie. I called them both out on the lie and revealed that. And then they lied about me and said that I was in a space where they were attacking Nick and I endorsed it, which was not true because I was in a different space with Dan Bilzerian and the Azipac guys. So it was verifiably false. So I saw that. I go, these guys are liars. They're just compulsive liars and they're going to do and say anything to continue pushing this story. So Dan comes out. At this point, it pushed him over the edge. He's seeing all the bullshit. He can't tolerate anymore. He comes out and says, I think Nick Fuentes is a Fed, breaks it all down. I'm not going to stand anything by him. Nick tries his counter. That doesn't work. So finally, he comes up with another fabricated story that is corroborated by fake Lucas Gage. That doesn't work. And so when he's catching all this backlash, he decides, oh, guys, I'm canceling the show tonight because there's just nothing interesting and I don't want to play into drama.
Nothing interesting happening right now. No,
nothing interesting, Like your whole mask falling and everybody realizing that you're a fraud? I'm done.
Yeah, I was still talking to Nick right before he posted that. And I saw him post that. I'm just like, whoa, bro, this is insane. Like, are you out of your mind to post this? And then after that, I just... You know, I blocked him and don't plan on ever talking to him again. That's a line of such. It's like a girl saying you raped her that you didn't. It's just such.
That's correct.
He's trying to get him arrested. Do you think he planned with Lucas beforehand? Probably.
Yes,
right?
Absolutely. I think that Lucas made, this is what happened. Lucas made a video where he was talking right before this happened. He made a video basically defending Nick. Lucas either proposed, I'll reach out, I support you, bud. And then Nick concocted this plan or one of them concocted the plan, but they absolutely coordinated it. He replied within minutes of that. Bro, I mean, it actually kind of reads like the Tyler Robinson text messages with his lover. If you read that,
even my mom goes, hey, this looks fake. She doesn't follow this stuff.
It reads like that. Let me see if I can pull that up.
I have a super chat real quick. So let me read a couple of these super chats.
Go for it.
So I don't want to forget. It's always suspicious when a commentator always attacks people doing things in the real world. Nick attacks Casey, Push, Dan Blazarian, Arvel. We are all supposed to just sit and complain online. Bingo. You nailed it. Thank you. And thanks.
That's correct. Because nobody, listen, guys, make all the memes you want. Ratio Mark Levin all you want. That's where they want you. They want you online. You're in post. What are you doing? Wait, let me ask you something. If it's so effective, why isn't the Israel spending all their time online?
Exactly, because it's
they have their bots online.
Real world. No,
they do real world actions, guys. Your country wasn't taken over online.
Yeah, you mentioned Patriot Front early. Like, he brought his guys around me. I pay attention to small little details. They have such tremendous respect for him. You can't fake that. The way they carry themselves around him. He's also, you know, he's banned from Twitter. He's banned from everything because he's a real threat.
That's a real threat.
Real change.
That's a real threat. Chats.
Let me read these real quick. I've been a Nick fan for over 5 years and I've turned him on essentially everything until now. He is countering Dan Blazarian. He can fuck off forever. Thank you. I mean,
that's correct.
Yeah, I was a fan of Nick too, by the way, but for a while I've been seeing that all he does is tack and tear people down that are doing things, right? One more real quick. If Nick wanted to beat Vivek, he could have organized people to door knock for Casey. It's frustrating when you are doing something and corporates are the new Q-tards waiting for the moment to rise up. Exactly.
He Perfect.
To help Casey win, now he's endorsed a Jew who pushed the COVID scam.
Perfect. Perfect. Oh, by the way, Nick endorsed, didn't he endorse Vivek for presidency a while ago? He endorsed Laura Loomer. Yeah. He endorses losers all the time. He's not a 5D brilliant strategist. I'm sorry, but they ran the Q PSYOP on the Gen Z, but they did it with a gay Fed. I'm sure they're laughing. Like, they're probably laughing in a room like, I can't believe these fucking idiots are following a clear homosexual. I mean, you guys really need... You need some physiognomy lessons, because if you look at his face, it looks like an evil goblin grimacing. People show you who they are, right? The way he laughs, everything about him is very maniacal. So sorry, guys, this is the truth. And people have asked me, by the way, people would come to my shows and ask me, like, what do you think about Nick? And the truth was, I didn't know, but I found it interesting. Every single show, that was a question I got, because I would do a little Q&A with people afterwards. And you know what I really would be interesting is to go, why are you interested in that? Why are you curious? Why do you ask this question? And the truth is because everybody's getting signals.
Yes.
Everybody's getting signals that something's off, something's not right, something doesn't smell right. So that's why everybody asks that question. So when so many people are like, is this guy an op? Is this guy a Fed? There's a reason for that. There is a reason for that.
Yeah. I think it's possible he didn't start out a Fed, and then either it could have been January 6th, or maybe they have something potentially gay he's done. And they give you an option, right? They're like, we'll give you all this money. We'll make you a star. We'll put you on the big podcast, or we'll expose this.
That's right.
That's a real possibility. I didn't think he was a Fed originally. I was actually arguing with Dan over this, and then he posted that fake thing about assassination temp, and I'm like, damn, sorry, Dan, you were right.
Yeah, the fake assassination attempt. And so here's another thing, right? They always try to, this is where narcissists try to create a lot of confusion, okay? He's like, well, I'm being attacked again. I'm being attacked again. Now, what Nick did is he spent the last few years riling up the left with rhetoric that the right wing says, right? Mm-hmm. He talks about race. He talks about women. He talks about things that the right wing knows about. Mm-hmm. And he got a lot of flack from the left. But we on the right are like, yeah, you're going to get flack because this is a Marxist-controlled media system, and you're saying something that they don't want to hear, and you're right, so we're going to defend you. So now what Nick's doing is this flack that he's getting from us, this attacks, he's grouping it in as another example of coordinated attacks. Again, I'm being attacked. No, 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 faggot. No, no, no. What's happening right now is incredibly different. We are not attacking you because you're saying controversial things. We're not attacking you because you're saying things we don't like. We're not attacking you because you're fighting the system. We are attacking you because you're a rat. We have snipped you out. You are a deceiver. You may be a federal informant. You are definitely gay, and you are not a Christian.
Yeah, no, I think you nailed it. And I tried really hard to help him, is what sucks. I mean, I knew he was gay, but I just kind of like said, whatever, I'm going to ignore that and just pretend like he's not because he's saying the right things. I fought hard and got him on the Hodge Twins, helped get him on Patch Up at David, some other podcasts when he was toxic and no one would talk to him. And then you realize, I think I asked him for one tiny thing one time and it's like, didn't respond. And that's like, oh, that's the kind of person he is.
That's a classic pattern.
Not that he owes me anything, but it just kind of showed me right there, like, okay, I see.
You didn't owe him anything either when you did all that.
No, exactly. I did it because I thought his message was, I believed in his message. I pushed really hard to support this guy. Then I realized, oh, he's just a backstabber.
This is classic. He's a taker, not a giver. He takes everything from everyone and will never give anything. And then he immediately turns on people and stabs them. So, sorry, guys. If you guys want to follow him, that's fine. Continue. You're going to go down the road of the Q-tards who still think Trump's got some magical ace up his sleeve as he continues to suck Bibi Netanyahu's dick. And the only thing that's going to happen is you're going to be incredibly disillusioned and despaired, and you're going to have to dig deeper into denying reality to stay in your fake world. That's what's going to happen.
No, he's going to start coming down. And what's funny is there's a few influencers that still talk to him. They all have privately told me they don't like Nick. They just want his audience. But his audience doesn't help you. They don't watch their shows. All they do is shit on you. Even when I make peace, like I was trying to make peace yesterday with Nick. We were privately talking, and the Groypers just attacking me the whole time anyways. But I'm just thinking,
and let's
like,
talk.
Okay,
let's talk about the Groypers. Let's talk about the supposed Christian men, the Christ is King, the we're going to defeat the establishment. Okay, let's go look at some of them, huh? Weak-looking men, men who have never been in a fight, men who cannot physically fight. A man who cannot physically fight will always choose deception and language for his war because he cannot stand. And a person that cannot stand does not have the courage to tell the truth. Okay.
Yeah, I know. I agree. I think it's also important. Most of these guys have never had sex with a woman, so you've never touched a woman, you've never fought. Those are
and
two
not
things
because
that make you a man.
They've never had sex with a woman, and it's not because they have some moral virtue. It's because they haven't grown and developed to the part to be interesting enough for a woman to want them, and so they develop this. Oh, all women are whores. By the way, I've got a huge problem with the state of women these days. It's not even like I'm defending women. But the fact of the matter is your failures in that department have a lot to do with you.
Yes.
And Nick is giving you the perfect excuse so that you stay a loser who no one's still going to want to touch. But now you've come up with a thing that I don't even want them anyway. What's the point of having it? That's a loser mentality.
Yeah, you should be what he should be pushing. Have a wife, having kids, like Patriot Front. That's what they're pushing. I've met their families, their kids. I'm told they're feds. Then they're really, literally bringing their wife and children around me. He's very encouraging. Have children or have white children.
Because what happens when you have a family and kids as a man?
You have more. You feel like you have to put more in. You feel obligated to speak up for the future.
You fight harder than you would fight for yourself.
Yeah, because I want the future to be good for my children.
Does a man not fight harder for his children than he ever does for himself?
Yes.
There you go.
It's our duty to
protect. So now you understand. Now you understand why Nick doesn't want men to have children. First of all, you say you want to defend the white race, and your approach is what? Don't have kids? We're already not having kids.
Yeah. No, it's crazy that he's encouraging people to like be incels, hate women. He pushes just like, I went to one of Nick's conferences in Detroit. Uh-huh. Well, actually, the crazy part is it got canceled. And you know, he kept everyone's money, I believe.
I know that.
Able to find him another venue in Dearborn, but he didn't take it and acted like he couldn't find a venue when like, no, we had you a venue. And then he brought it to some small VIP only. So he didn't let the regular fans that brought tickets. He just let the VIPs that were like, cool. I hate that attitude. You know,
that's a scammer.
But I hate it when they treat people like, oh, you don't get to hang out with these VIPs. It pisses me off. You know, it's like, I don't want to be one of the VIPs. The people that bought your tickets are there. They should get the tickets instead of me. I didn't need to go. They should have brought the people that paid the tickets that were his hugest fans. Like not the fucking VIPs. It's like, it's just so retarded. And
yep,
I don't know.
Yep. I agree with you. I agree. I totally agree. He's he's very elitist in that way. He made fun of working class men who work with their hands. He goes, oh, you hammer a nail all day. That's like a woman, dude. Sorry, but go look at women, what they say online when they say they don't need men. You're saying that in a building that was built by somebody who hammered nails all day, you little faggot. Like,
well, manual work's the most important thing. Like the way the Jews make money is not through manual labor. You know, Fuentes is also a Jewish last name. I'm not.
I do know that. I know that. You know, I don't go. He may or may not be. He certainly. It doesn't matter to me because his behavior is what we don't like with the Jews. It's not like we're over here just like, I don't like the Jews. It's like, no, we don't like this Jewish supremacist behavior where you lie and deceive and you are a disgusting person and you push degeneracy. And guess what Nick's doing? All of those things. So even if it came out that he's 100% Gentile or whatever, it makes no difference. Your behavior is that of a scumbag, and you're worse actually because you're a traitor. That's the enemy. You're a traitor. That one's worse.
What has he done to like build and help? He's a good speaker, I'll give him that, a podcaster, but what has he done to help America? I can't think of anything. Can you?
Nope. The argument is that he brought this conversation to the national consciousness.
Like no one else was having it for. And okay. I will give him credit because he was early, but this conversation's, you know, Pat Buchanan, there's hundreds of people. But that is why I was late to attack Nick, because I did give him respect. I felt like I owed him something. But at this point, he's gone way too far. I realize I'm being too loyal. Sometimes I feel this.
That's like correct.
And realize this guy keeps stabbing me in the back. And then when Dan's one of my really good friends. When he talked crap on Dan, that was just like, wow.
Well, you know, that how I felt about it is my loyalty is to the truth, right? So if you or Dan had turned out to be frauds or a Nick had turned out to be telling the truth, I would have taken Nick's side. That's the reality.
Yeah.
Sorry. No, yeah. You know, that's how I feel. My loyalty is to the truth. I've met you. I've met Dan. I've met you people in your orbit. Everything about what you guys do is authentic, genuine. And Dan has an actual plan to save America. And it's not all dependent on him. That's the thing.
No, right? He doesn't want it to be about him. He doesn't want
Trump's
to do that.
Trump's whole thing was, obligated. I'm going to save America. Me by myself. Don't betray me. We see a very similar narcissistic behavior between these two.
Yeah.
Dan's plan is to defeat Randy Fine in Florida's 6th congressional district, which we all should be helping him do, by the way. And I will be working on the campaign to help him.
And donating money.
Donating money.
I did donate yesterday and I forgot. I'm going to donate multiple times, you know, because it takes money. Yes, Dan has. I was like, oh, Dan's rich, but they're going to put millions and millions, tens of millions of dollars against Dan. And that makes a big difference. I've been talking
to
campaign consultants. These races are tough. You see why it's hard to win.
And this is a move. This is a movement. So it can't just be all on one person. You've got to be invested. Now, Dan's plan is to unseat Randy Fine, which is going to be a big wound in their image.
Very
the
big.
Same image. So Nick's creating very Jewish, creating this image of power and strength. And I can't be opposed or you'll get taken down, which is why a lot of people were afraid to come out against him. And we are proving that he is a paper tiger and that his little groypers only know how to fight online, which is why they stay there. Dan's plan is once you put that wound in there, then the American psyche gets, oh, wait a second, there's hope. Now, the next move is to have multiple people across the country running in congressional districts opposing these AIPAC candidates who are going to refuse to take AIPAC money and refuse to sell out America. When you just get 20 people in Congress, look at Thomas Massie, one guy and what he's been able to do. Imagine if we had 20, imagine if we had 100, imagine if we had 400.
Yeah. And we have to realize it's going to take time. We're not necessarily going to win all these races. The first events and things like, you know, trying to raise money aren't going to be perfect. We're learning. We're up against like a multi-billion dollar machine.
We're up against a satanic 6,000 year old death cult. That's what we're up against.
And Nick wants to shit on like, oh, Amy's event didn't go perfect. She's doing something. She's out there doing something. It's like the man in the arena, you know, the Roosevelt quote. It's like, we're out doing something. Casey's out doing something, you know, with no money. If Nick could have helped him, maybe he could have won, but he doesn't want to. I bet the Groypers are going to be campaigning for Randy Fine.
Good.
They'll be campaigning for Randy Fine and that Jew woman in Ohio. That's who they're campaigning. So if
that's
you're
good.
A Groyper, you're fighting for and Epstein's their hero. It's like they're the face of world Jewry.
That's
they're
good.
Like the opposite
that's good.
Of what Nick originally preached.
They should absolutely campaign for Randy Fine. It'll be good, actually, because then you can say, is this the group that you want to follow? Are you invested in the war to save America or are you invested in your own ego? Because that's what's happening, right? That is what's happening. Like if there was a candidate that Nick was supporting who was good for America, I would not counter that candidate just because Nick was supporting them.
I still won't counter. If Nick says good things, I definitely will not counter that. If Nick's saying the right things, I'll still get behind it. I probably won't talk about Nick very
Nick
much.
Is gonna, Nick is a dead issue. He needs people need to understand this. He is a dead issue. He must be shunned out. If you want to support and continue working with this guy, that's on you. But he has been revealed. He has been revealed for being a Pied Piper. So the ploy, okay, because everybody goes to know, what's the point? How is this going to benefit them? Why would they do this? Okay, let's look at what the strategy with Nick is. Okay, he is going to catch the people who are outside the Overton window of accepted debate. The accepted debate is we shouldn't, you know, right now it's become accepted to argue against Israel because of what they did on October 7th. That is an accepted debate because you can argue against it, even though it's a little controversial.
Yeah.
Outside that accepted debate is the discussion of Jewish power in America. Separate, not saying Israel, not saying Zionist, saying Jewish supremacist power. That is outside. So there are people in that window who are talking about this and realizing that something needs to be done. Mm-hmm. Nick's job is to capture those young men who are angry and confused and don't know what to do and sell them a solution that is no solution at all, but is very appealing because it doesn't require any sacrifice.
Yeah, you sit in your basement and talk, make memes about raping people's kids, we should add. They made a meme about raping Amy and her husband, Morgan. Do you know Morgan? They made things threatening her child, her daughter. That was sick. Yep. My friend Pete, they made stuff with his children.
Yep.
It's just sick, you know, like, and I don't, as far as I know, Nick has never called this out. He's never told, it's not Nick doing it, it's his base, but he's like, hey guys, this is disgusting. Don't do this. But he doesn't. He stays quiet. That means he's okay with it.
That's correct, because he wants that and he encourages it. Okay. So, you know, what he did, what his do is to capture those young men. They're looking for a hero. They're looking for a leader. And he positions himself as that. And he offers them something that is, oh, look, this will make you feel like you're doing something, right? You are now doing something. You're making memes. You're ratioing people. You're showing them. You're spreading the message. Spreading the message is important. Showing that these people don't have a total capture on the ideology is important, but it's the beginning.
It's the first step. So it's important, but it's the first step.
So if your leader continues to tell you to remain in that space and to shit on anything that goes outside of that, into in real life action, into building community, into building yourself by getting healthier, eating better, taking care of yourself, putting yourself in a community of like-minded people. He says, I like diversity. I like my multicultural city. I like getting Uber Eats. All of the stuff that makes you a weak, effeminate faggot and not a threat to the system. So that is the Pied Piper. I have led you now. I have made you feel as if we're doing something. I'm saying the things that you know are true right back to you. But I am giving you zero solutions. And in fact, I'm leading you to a path that is destructive and a dead end.
Yeah. And, you know, and I'm very appreciative for the positives that he's pushed early on, but I'm not for what he's pushing now. It adds nothing of value. It's the opposite of that. Like you said, someone, Casey runs, oh, we're going to go the opposite side. We're going to vote for the Jew in Ohio instead. Yep. We're going to vote for fat Randy Fine. Do you think he's always been a Fed, or do you think he's currently a Fed, or do you think he's just like an egomaniac?
I think he's a federal informant. I think he may have been groomed because there's a lot of similarities between him, between Ben Shapiro, between Kaysenbaum, and between Tim Pool. If you'll notice, all of these people speak very fast, very quickly. They do a nice stream of consciousness. They say a lot of things. When they debate you, they try to throw you off your beam.
They don't have real debates. By the way, excellent job on Tim Pool.
Thank you.
Was that a week or a couple weeks ago? You destroyed like all – it was like you versus three or four of them.
Yeah, it was me versus four of them. And Tim Pool kept trying to attack me in every way he could, told me I don't read. And what he meant is I don't read whatever notes he's getting from Bibi Netanyahu. Well, I don't have access to them. So maybe share them.
He has met Bibi Netanyahu. That is
I know. I know. He tried to say that Bibi told him we need to do something about Israel's image. And he goes, I laughed in his face. I go, you laughed in the face of the most psychotic man in the world. And he let you walk away. Give me a break, you little midget.
He's such a little coward of a man. That didn't happen.
So if you look, right, all of them, they do the same thing. They talk really fast at you. They attack you. They make personal attacks. They put you down. The new talking point is low IQ, stupid, blame the Jews for everything. Why don't you compare parts of my interview with Tim Pool to what some recent things that Nick Fuentes has been saying. So Tim Pool said, oh, all these people who see Jews everywhere. Nick Fuentes, you can't just say it's the Jews. That's so stupid. You just see Jews everywhere. Same talking points. Oh, you're, these are the low IQ anti-Semites. That's Tim Pool. Also Nick Fuentes. You don't read, you're stupider than me. Tim Pool, Nick Fuentes. Okay. Same thing with Mark Levin, low IQ, stupid. You got Ben Shapiro. So all of these people are using the same tactics. They have the same trainings. He's trained in the same way. I think he gets his information from someone. They probably feed him information on different people to help attack them. He was in the beginning, he was with Laura Loomer, who has turned into a full-blown
thought agent. He endorsed her for Congress. He was close friends with her, who's obviously an Israeli asset. He said he was
she's trying to be. She's certainly auditioning for the role. She's trying to be. I think she's working for them for free because she's a retard.
Didn't she say she blew Trump, I think?
Somebody, there was a rumor. But again, I don't know. I don't care. I don't care about these things. You know, they're irrelevant to me. Because we can just... We can just stick with the facts of what our own eyes and ears show us. And this is what I see about you. And you know, your origins reveal a lot. So I think that he might have been an asset from the beginning. He was there on January 6th. He told people to go into the building. Don't stop. Ignore the cops. And he's listen, a lot of people got arrested for way less than that. People got arrested who weren't even in the building.
Years in jail. So
he didn't.
That's a good point. I talked to a guy who he wasn't even there, and they gave him like 37 years or something. What is his
name? A guy who wasn't even there.
But Nick Fuentes,
on camera, encouraging people to go into the Capitol and break the law.
So he should have been arrested for that, and he wasn't.
He should have been arrested.
Point.
He should have been arrested.
Really should, especially because they hated him. The fact in D.C.
They supposedly hated him. They supposedly hated him. Now, all of this is kosher theater, because if you look, Mark Levin doesn't really, Levine or whatever, doesn't talk that much about Dan Bilzerian, right? Yeah. All these people don't really talk much about Dan Bilzerian. They won't have him on their shows.
No, none of these.
Who do they have on?
The Israel people won't have him on. The people that pretend like they don't like Israel don't want to talk to
Dan. They have Nick Fuentes on. Nick Fuentes has a New York Times article written about him. Mark Levin talks about him. All these people talk about him constantly because it's like, hey, we're going to create the map of what we want you to see. Oh, look at how much we hate this guy. We hate this guy. We hate this guy. Every time you talk about the guy, you pay attention to them. You give them attention that actually raises their profile. So the best thing to do with somebody who's an actual threat is to ignore them and try to silence them and then make it seem like they're not important, which is what they've done with Dan, by the way.
Yeah, I think he's looking at him as the real threat. That's why they have this coordinated attack against him. They're looking at it, how can we bring Dan? So the Groypers, if you're looking up to this guy and Lucas Gage, you're looking at the guy that's trying to bring down Dan Bilzerian so Randy Fine could win. This is
bring down a high testosterone male who's actually served in the military, who knows how to fight, who has his own wealth, doesn't need your money, cannot be compromised, can't be blackmailed because he openly talked about what he's done. He's not interested in that anymore. He saw the through that illusion. He's had it all. Yeah. And he's fighting and he's choosing to take this fight on. That is a noble person. I'm sorry. That's a noble person.
I watched his change. When I first met him, he had all the women, all this stuff. And he goes, I'm going to kick my sex addiction. I'm not going to have sex for 30 days. And I just laughed at him because it wasn't like prostitutes, like regular person sex addiction. It was like beautiful models for free. Everyone's thinking like, okay, girls, like, no, Dan's got charisma, money, got it all. And then he just stopped cold turkey. I've seen other people say it and not be able to beat it. Dan just stopped. I was like, wow, you have like so much like mental strength that made me do better with some things. I'm like, if this guy can do stuff like that, I can beat my flaws and addictions and whatnot. So none of us are perfect and we don't claim to be, but like we're working to be better people. We're working to try to find the truth.
Nobody is perfect. Nobody survived this totally Judaized culture that we are born into. From a young age, your brain is pumped full of this Marxist communist indoctrination, degeneracy, pornography.
Yeah, we're taught we're supposed to do that. Dan was
having
taught,
guilt for being European.
He was made like, oh, you're so cool for doing this. So yeah, he pushed degeneracy, but he was told, that's what he realized, like, I'm pushing degeneracy. I'm not pushing anything of value. It's disgusting what I've pushed. I became this like freak. And Dan realized that, you know, people say he wants fame. I don't think he'd post on his Instagram like a year. And he has, what, 50 million, 40 million followers on there?
It's ridiculous.
His cat has more followers than fucking Nick.
I know. Hilarious. So you have that option, or you've got a gay, probably federal informant, sits in his basement, yells at his own fans. He hates his own fans. And I think the reason he hates his own fans is because it's a double bind. It's like a Chinese finger trap. On the one hand, he needs them. But on the other hand, by continuing to have them, he has to continue to pretend that he's not gay. Yeah. And so he literally hates his fans because they force him to deny who he is. And all he wants to do is go blow some dudes and fucking... The man just wants to suck some dick, honestly. Yeah. and we would all be better off if he would just go do that. But he is a narcissist and likes power and likes attention. And really his job is to lead men astray. And what he wants to do. He wants to go do some tranny porn and fuck some other faggots and go live his best life and eat like Uber Eats and go into the multicultural complex. Cool. Good for you, bro.
Right. He tells you not the leader. To work out. There's a funny moment with Glenn Greenwald. We interviews him. Glenn goes, you know, we've actually met before. We bumped into each other at some gay club. And Nick laughs like, yeah, we did. And then changed the subject. And I don't know. Could it be a joke? But it seemed like they were being serious. They're like, their awkward laugh. Talked about how.
They probably did.
And Nick's like, well, I'm not going to say what I was doing there. But it's true. It's true. And you're like, okay, is this a joke? Or do these guys really?
It doesn't matter. This is what narcissists do a lot too, right? They pass things that are true off as a joke. They make attacks. And when you get upset, they go, I was just joking. And then, you know, when all of Nick's attacks, right before he released this lie, he tried to attack Dan. It didn't work, right? So then he did another classic narcissist move, which was he picked a scapegoat that seemed weak and fragile that he could pin everything on, which was Amy. And he said,
that really pissed me off.
Yeah, he said, it's so unfortunate. Well, let me read this to you guys so that you guys can see.
It's so deranged. You should probably read it.
Yeah, hold on 1 second.
It's just so, I feel so bad for Amy because she's like really looked up to this guy. It's like her hero. And then she thinks, oh, I'm actually doing something good for society. And Nick pays her back by just trashing her. Thinks she's trying to like steal his movement.
Nobody wants your groypers, dude. Your groypers aren't going to do anything anyway. They're weak. They can't even do push-ups. Dude, I have like 30 pounds on Nick. So come on, bro.
Dude, who do you think would win? 10 random groypers or 10 Indian men in a fight?
Oh, dude.
Tough, right?
It's tough because half the groypers are brown anyway. I don't know, but they have some Mexicans in there.
I think they could take 10 Indians.
Yeah, I think they could, but
I want to be honest here. I shouldn't like.
It would be a pretty good fight, though. Battle. Who?
It would be a good fight. 10 groypers.
It would be a good fight. So he said, this is what he said. He said, so interesting to see this hostile takeover attempt by Amy Dangerfield, some slut from Australia who worked for Adam Sussman. Yeah, so that's a personal attack. He picks Amy because she's a like 110-pound girl. She's
not
sweet.
Not a huge following, like 30,000.
Not a huge following. It's like, hey, this isn't working. I'm attacking too strong of a force. Let's see if this move works where we can pin it. Can we all turn? And the reason this works with narcissists within a narcissistic system is because everybody in the system doesn't want to be the next target of the narcissist's rage. Yes. So when Nick picked the AF Deplorables guy to rip on and rag on, everybody got behind Nick because being behind him is safe because then you won't be the next target. In a narcissistic system, anybody who's plugged into the system will join the narcissist in scapegoating the victim because it keeps them out of target. The only way to break that is when somebody from outside the system or somebody within the system has the courage to stand with the victim and say, no, you're not going to do this, and continue to call out the narcissist on their bullshit, which is what we're doing.
Yeah, you, a few months ago, I was doing this for Nick, and that's when he called me and wanted to like make a truce, I think, because I was like going after him hard, and he's realizing like, oh, crap, this is making – these guys aren't scared of me. They're not jumping in line.
That's correct.
I don't worship some gay fucking fed.
And then that damages the fragile image of power that he's created. And if enough people within the narcissistic system see that the narcissist is not untouchable, that they are not all powerful – they will then also leave the system because everybody wants to be free, and they will start to, there will always be some people who stick behind because they're just like wounded animals and you can't do anything for them. And that's going to happen with Ick anyway. There's going to be, I think, about 100 people, maybe less.
He'll keep some thousands, I think. And it's fine.
He's going to keep thousands for a little while.
Not to watch the show, by the way. Feel free to watch the show.
They should. Don't waste your time. Don't waste your time.
He's the leader. Yeah.
I wouldn't waste your time. You can get all this information from other people. There's no need for it. And you have all the information you need, actually, at this point. What you need to be doing is forming community and taking political action. Yes. So that's the truth.
Arbol, the guys he attacks. Dan.
That's the truth.
Casey, Amy, there's taking action.
I mean, look at what Restore Britain just did. Restore Britain just ran 10 candidates on the furthest right platform you could have, on a platform of remigration. And they won in every single race they were in. They won. This is the beginning. Nigel Farage is trying to, whatever his name is trying to ignore them. He's the fake conservative party. He would be the equivalent of our Trump. He's trying to ignore them and say, he tried to say, reform won, because that's his party, reform, right? Mm-hmm. He's totally ignoring them because they're an actual threat, trying to make it seem like it's not a big deal. I guarantee you that Restore is going to inch up because the British people are tired of their country being taken from them and their girls being raped. And yes, so that's actually a winning strategy, because now you're putting your people in under your power and you're taking over the levers of control. You can't go up against a state apparatus that holds all the levers of control and all the levers of violence, because they're going to destroy you like they've always done. And so that's my point with that's somebody to follow, not Nick, who's telling you to sit in your basement, be fat, eat Uber Eats, and go live in your multicultural hellhole.
Don't get a girlfriend. Don't have kids. Don't work out. And, you know, I tried really hard not to have a feud with him, really hard, you know, harder than I should have, because I felt too much respect for him for early on, you know, spreading the knowledge. But then you realize, okay, this guy is just, whether it's a Fed or not, he's just trying to destroy everything. He's never going to try to build anything up. And it's unfortunate, but it's the reality.
In his early days, he wasn't even talking about Jewish power. You know, he was on the MAGA side, on the right side. He wasn't talking about that. He started getting a lot of shit from people who are on the dissident rights for not doing that. And that's when he realized if he was going to stay in his pocket, he needed to do that. So that's why I think that he's been a fraud from the beginning.
Yeah, you might be right. One or two more things before we wrap. I want to go into real quick the Lucas Gage thing again. So he goes and says, holy shit, Dan planned an assassination attempt on Ben Shapiro, which is insane. And then he goes, I have one witness. Then they went on a space last night, and he says he has multiple witnesses and like random people like Adam Green, who should be his enemy because he's really good friends with Adam King, who an awesome Jew, who is, this is the guy that got him doxed allegedly. He's suing him. So it just doesn't make sense. Like, why are you calling this guy? You told one person, now you're saying you told, and then you had Anon's coming on being like, yeah, he told me too. So it's clearly like, so probably like 50 Gorypers are probably going to come forward and say, yeah, Nick told me this too. When clearly, I think Nick shared some text message saying like, look, Dan, saying I had proof. And it was something like, oh, Dan invited me to like Abu Dhabi in Europe with him. I said, no, the trip, by the way, I went to, it was Europe. We went to, where did we go? We went to France to do some diving, deep sea diving. That's something that probably been good for Nick. Oh, let's go out and be physical. And then we went to
Romania. That's why he said no. He was like, oh no, I don't want to go in the water.
I can't get my hair wet. been good for him, healthy, to go hang out with some men, have some friends. I don't think he has any like real, like, I don't think Nick has a single friend. It's all just backstabbing. Well, like Milo, Nick convinced me he's a backstabbing liar, which might be true. But then maybe Milo is actually the one telling the truth.
I mean, it's possible they're both backstabbing liars. It's possible. Usually two narcissists don't like each other. They butt heads.
That's true.
They have a real problem with each other. Milo.
And Nick talked me out of it. I'm like, okay, I won't do it. Because he's like, hey, this guy's really a bad person. And maybe he really is. I don't know. But it's also possible looking at Nick, who knows?
Yeah. And you know, there's a lot of things that happen with Nick's super chats that are very, very suspicious, that the same things happen with Tim Pool's super chats. Tim Pool will get these random super chats for $250, $300, anonymous with no message, no comment. That's him getting paid by whoever's backing him. Nick has a lot of the same thing.
Someone gave him hundreds of thousands of dollars anonymously, by the way. I think that's very important to add.
Yeah, that's very strange.
That reminded me. I think I have a few more super chats. I'm glad you mentioned that, because I think I have a few more.
Who is that? You know?
Yeah, I don't think they know. Let's see. Wait, anyway, I read that one. Wait, I read that one. Did I read all these? Jake, you got to run for office. Someone told me I have to run for office. Okay. All right. I think that was the only one more.
I think you had some new super chats in there.
Yeah, this is just one. Someone saying, "Hey, Jake, you got to run for office." Yeah, maybe. I was considering it. I told Dan if he was ran in Vegas, I was going to run along with him. But since he ran in Florida, no one wants to run for office, or no one in their right mind. It's only these power hungry freaks. As a duty, maybe I will. But it sounds terrible. So this, I got out of it this time. Maybe in 2018, I will. That's why we need Dan to win. It's such a We need a moral victory for the country.
That's correct.
Nick's counter signaling that. I text Nick like a month ago and go, "Hey, are you going to endorse Dan?" And instead of saying yes, of course, he like asked me a question to distract. And then yesterday when we were talking, I said, "You never gonna endorse Dan?" He's like, "Yeah, I did. I'm almost certain that's a lie." Have you ever seen? I don't think Nick.
Nick's never endorsed Dan. No.
I have.
No, he was starting to counter signal him. Dan. Even before
that's not why Dan attacked him, but that's something to me. I was upset that he didn't endorse my friend. It should be a no brainer. Dan or Randy Fine. Anyone.
I don't know if you saw these super chats. I don't know if you want me to read them, but I'm looking at them.
Oh, I see. I don't see them. Where are they at? Yeah, go and read them.
Let me read them and we can respond. I'm just going to warn you. The first two are hostile. So we can.
I don't care.
Okay, you guys are mad that he personally attacks Amy, but then you just spent the last hour doing the exact same thing to Nick. Make it make sense. I will make it make sense. We didn't actually personally attack Nick. We brought up things that Nick was doing that are deceptive, bad, and evil. He called Amy a slut and used that to discredit her. We are showing you that Nick is actually deceptive and lying. If Amy was pretending to be some kind of pure woman and she was, trad and married to this guy, and then she's going around sleeping with a bunch of people, it would be appropriate to call her a slut at that point, because the slut qualification shows that she is deceiving her audience. Okay.
Yeah.
Calling Nick a gay fed is important because he is deceiving his audience by pretending to be a heterosexual noticer who's leading you guys to victory, when in fact he is deceiving you. Sorry, he is the male Sarah Stock. The both of them pretending to be Catholic virgins and fucking dudes on the side.
Yeah, like Glenn Greenwald, he's gay, but at least he openly admits it. He's not pushing Christian values. So I think I don't support it, but he's done such good journalism, real journalism, not like Nick. So that's a guy I still talk to at times and I can respect, even though he's gay. Him and Nick ran into each other at a gay bar, apparently. But Nick, he's pushing these values. So him being gay is kind of relevant. I mean, everyone kind of knows that's true. They just kind of turn a blind eye.
That's correct.
I don't think anyone like doubts this. It's like all the Groypers know, kind of like how you see MAGA now. They all know it's the defeated movement. It's kind of sad. The Groypers know. They just kind of, it's like a secret that they all kind of openly, if you talk to them privately, they're always like, "Hey, is he actually gay?" And it's like, "I don't know, bro."
I've said that before too, because I didn't know, but now I do. Anyway, let's go to the next one. This is a good one. This is from Uzak3. "We aren't brown and we aren't weak. Nick has been around before you clowns, and he will still be around after." Uzak, I could tell by his profile, he's not brown. You're right. You guys aren't all brown and you aren't all weak. And I don't mean to loop all you guys in there. I would really like for you guys to find appropriate heroes, because you guys have a lot of energy. And I believe that the only thing that can save America is white Christian men of strength and of character. So I fully want to support you guys in doing that. This isn't about me wanting to destroy
you.
I
don't hate his people, you know, and a lot of them hate on me, but it's like some of them are good people. They have the right message.
I want them to find an actual avenue to power, not be silent. If I didn't care, I wouldn't care that Nick's doing this to you.
Yeah, I'm really, really bummed about this situation. You know, even yesterday I was still talking to Dan and Nick. I have text messages of it, and being naive, thinking like, "Oh man, this sucks," you know, but Nick wanting Dan to call him and apologize. I'm like, I told him maybe we can get three of us on the phone later and talk or something. And then he said that once he said that thing about Dan trying to kill people, it's just like,
it's
whoa,
done.
Such a level of crazy that I'm like, all right, I'm done with this guy. And I didn't, like, he's a guy I respect. It's hard when someone that you used to like and looked up to and helped betrays you, but you have to be a point. He betrayed, kind of like how Trump betrayed us.
That's correct.
And by the way, I'd be like, oh, you copy his points. I'm the one that convinced Nick to turn on Trump, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
He talked about it on the air about how, yeah, me and Jacob have been arguing about Trump. Here's why I still support him. I got to go find these. We had multiple conversations about Trump. And then eventually he goes, all right, you're right.
Yeah. So anyway, because he's going to align where the power is, you know. Okay. This guy says, find your friends in Diagolon. Long live Diagolon, Jeremy McKenzie 07. That's from Patton 2442. I don't know what that means. I'm sure you guys know what that means. But let me say what you said. You guys got to understand, one of the hard things about seeing the truth behind your heroes is that they are dressed in the robes of a hero, and it's hard to see the truth. It's like when a priest turns out to be a child molester. It's very difficult for people to come to the reality that this guy is not, is basically just a pedophile, right? Who put on a robe in order to molest kids. It's not a priest. It's not a man of God who fell. It is a guy who disguised himself as a man of God so that he could gain access to victims. And when you see things that way, you stop seeing it as a priest who fell and feeling this conflict. You see it as a gay pedophile who dressed up as a priest. And this is the thing you're dealing with Nick. You're still thinking it's a hero and a guy who wanted to tell you the truth, who just got lost and made some missteps. No. This is an infiltrator and a subverter who wanted to destroy you and then dressed up in the clothes of a hero. That is the worst thing. That is a traitor. You should absolutely destroy that person.
Yeah, this is something I've struggled with on and off last year or two once I started seeing all these patterns, because he's someone I had tremendous respect for. I thought we were friends. And then over the last like year, 2 years, I started seeing that wasn't the case, but I held my tongue. But it came to a point where, especially once he made the accusations against Dan, I'm like, okay, I have to go all in. And, you know, I'm not trying to tell people you can't watch his stuff. You don't have to pick a side. As me, I personally won't have any involvement with him anymore. And I think he's trying to take the movement. He says, America first is mine. It's like, America first is America first. It's not yours, Nick. You don't own it.
What I know from this is anybody who continues to follow Nick is either a deceiver or lacks discernment. And in either case, they are a liability.
It's really at any point, like MAGA.
Yeah. At any point that they wake up and come to the truth, I will welcome them. Until that point, we are done. There's nothing for me to work with you on, because you're not going to ever actually be able to see the truth. You're always going to fall for these things.
No movement should ever be about one person. We need leaders. That's right. But you never should put one, including us, you know, look up everything I say. No one person is perfect, and people get flawed. They get power hungry. They can get corrupted. So you never want to put all your belief in one person. It can devastate you, like we saw with MAGA, and now we're seeing with Nick. So yep. A few more super chats.
I'm seeing them. Do you want me to just read them?
Sure.
Oh, you want to read them? Okay.
Not only Nick, there are many other influencers too. Yes, that is true. They're like a media trained team that's been prepared for years. Yeah, I think this is true. The Dan Bonginos, the Tim Pools.
Yep.
I couldn't agree more.
This is a good one. It says, I followed him for years, actually dropped out a month before Kirk during the generational run. He has every take, including contradictory ones, even when it undermines his Catholicity, and lost me. That's good. That's a good point.
Yeah. You know, I think you find something interesting. There's a clip where he's like, oh, Dan's just mad because I didn't answer his phone call because Dan called me like an hour mad.
What a lie.
Charlie Kirk assassination. Dan was trying to be like, what are you doing saying, you know, for sure Israel wasn't involved. Is it possible? Like, look at all the evidence. And Nick wasn't happy about it. He didn't want to be questioned. And I think originally I thought it was he just wanted to counter signal Candace Owens. But now looking, maybe he's a bad actor. That's why he's a bad actor.
Because Dan would call him out on bullshit. At the time that everyone is waking up, and really there was so much energy at that moment when Charlie was assassinated, that really could have been a moment for people to come together, break from the Israel mind virus, demand action against them. But Nick successfully took the one group who really would have pushed that, the group of noticers, and what did he do? He siloed them into confusion.
Low-eyed. Oh, now we don't know. We don't know.
Question
it. They want you to believe that it was a, what, 30-06, which I'm not a gun guy, but every gun guy I talked to said that's impossible. They say he dismantled the gun in seconds. All the gun guys say it take at least a minute. He didn't have the gun when he jumped off the building. None of it makes sense, but they want us to believe it, not question it. You have, you know, he was Charlie Kirk on Harrison Smith. I was on a show 2 weeks before he got shot. He goes, Charlie Kirk believes he's going to be killed by Israel. I laughed at that. I'm like, he's a Zionist, cuck, blah, blah. Then he gets shot in the neck 2 weeks later. I was like, whoa.
Yep, I know. And Nick was coming out again. I mean, Charlie was coming out against Israel. He was pissing off his donors. He had a lot of problems, right? And
we trust Erica Kirk, though.
Yeah.
Did she look like a grieving widow to you?
No. Yeah. She was a handler. She's a handler.
You don't lose a husband with your kids and act like that. A lot of girls.
No, she's a handler.
A month after a breakup, I'm sure you've seen friends where they can't get out of bed for like a month over a breakup, and she lost this guy who was extremely successful, loved her children, and she's just out partying, doing book tours, speaking tours. Come on.
What 17-year-old is in Romania running a orphanage?
Running it,
not volunteering, running it. Come on, guys.
There's that one tweet she sent out. It's a picture of a little girl, and she's like, here, I forget who it was sent to. It's like, oh, here's your present. It's so sick and disturbing. And they tried being like, oh, it's the stuffed animal she's holding. But it was to some rich. I need to go look up and find who this was to. It was just so disturbing. I have a hard time looking at it, knowing what that poor girl suffered. Like, when you see this stuff, it's just, I struggle with it.
I know.
Children have already lost their parents. They take these children.
Yeah, but that's who predators always prey on. If you go, I mean, look, I watch a lot of nature documentaries. You can learn a lot from nature. Lions, for as strong as they are, what do they go for? They go for the weakest member of the herd. They'll try to prey on a young buffalo who is separated from the mother. There's no different here. We shouldn't be surprised by this just because we have a sensibility where we would never try to hurt a child who's been hurting. You have to invert that to understand evil. That's exactly who they're going to hurt because there's no defense against them. And apparently somebody just said in the comments, Charlie called Joe Kent and told them they were going to kill him.
He told a lot of people that. He told tons of people that. Like, it was out everywhere. But
he should have went public with that is what he should have done, because that might have saved his life.
Supposedly all those guys, I don't know their names, that are still running Turning Point, his best friend and stuff. He was the one privately telling everyone like, oh, Charlie thinks Israel's going to kill him. Now he's trying to shut down the investigation. If I was killed, I would want my wife trying to get out there. I want my friends trying to get out there, not being like, oh, let's shut it down. I think Kash Patel also shut down the investigation on foreign influence, obviously Israel.
Yeah, well, okay, you can't put an Indian in charge of law enforcement. Of course he's going to fucking scam, be deceptive.
I think they put him there because he was incompetent, not because he's competent. They wanted someone that couldn't handle anything.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
Anything before we wrap? I know we got busy days. This was last minute. I woke up and I'm like, hey, do you want to jump on a call for a few minutes?
I just think that people really should. It's hard to see what the truth is. Right now, we're going to, for people who love him, they're going to think like we're the enemy and we're evil. They're going to feel all that. That always happens to the person who bears the message of bad news, is all the feelings you should have about the bad news gets put on the person. And so you're going to go through the 5 stages of grief, and you're in your denial, and then your anger, and you're putting it on us. But the fact of the matter is, I don't have anything to gain by attacking Nick. In fact, it just brings like animosity toward me. I don't want his audience. I don't want to be the leader of a movement. All I want is for people to take action to restore their country and free us from being an Israel vassal state. And so when somebody's getting, I don't even do infighting. I don't really care. I disagree with people all the time. I don't counter them or say anything because it's not that important. The only time I speak out against people is when I think they're fake and I think that they're liars. That is when it is important. It is important. There is no infighting in that case. That is called smoking out a rat, because the rat will take down the ship.
Yeah. No, I agree. I tried avoiding this for a long time. I was being constantly attacked by the corpers, but I still wasn't attacking them, being like, oh, I don't do infighting. And then once he said that thing about Dan, like, oh, he's trying to get him thrown in jail. He's working with be fine. He's working with some Jewish pack. That's when I had that moment. And then I saw Lucas jumped on right after Lucas had that thing where he said he's disavowing anti-Semitism. He's coming over to work with these Jewish agencies. And then Adam Green. Oh, that's his person that knows, the guy who's tied in with these Jewish, because a lot of people think Awesome Jew is Mossad. And this is really good friends with Adam Green. I know he's been over there to Israel, has all these connections. So I see the pattern now. The map kind of, it's been mapped out. You can see it. And once you see it, you're like, wow, this is a.
It's just clear. It's clear.
They look at Dan as a threat to Randy Fine. Now they're trying to take him down.
Yeah, I think people are going to see the truth. You got a couple of super chats that just came in. You want me to read them? Let's
read these, then we can wrap up. And where can people find you before we wrap? You have your
Twitter. Can just find me. Leonardo is funny everywhere. Even on Twitter, I got my handle back. So Leonardo,
you are really funny for a girl, I would like to say.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I usually hate women comedian. No offense, but it was like,
why would I be offended? I was not even offended. Yeah.
And they put you like in some like cracked in and you were still hilarious. Where were we? Thank funeral you. Home or where were we at?
It was like a quinceanera hall or something. I'm legit canceled. It's not like one of these fake canceled. I can't play.
Yeah, no disrespect to the event place. I thank them for having you, but just shows you the type of place you have to perform at, because regular clubs,
they just won't have me.
You have to go to funeral homes.
Yeah, that's called actually being canceled, you know. So
and Owen Benjamin are actually canceled.
Wow.
I've seen the moon eyes of both of you. Like, they really go after and just try to destroy you, shut down the clubs. But anyways, let's get these super chats.
Baba Ganoush said, why should you never piss off a Muslim? Because they had a short fuse. Thank you, Baba Ganoush.
Thank you, Baba Ganoush.
Zodakin 6367 said, Jake and Leonardo are the enemies. Never forget, never forgive. I think you should open your eyes and ears and ask yourself if we really sound like the enemies.
I'm always ahead of things, you know, like criticizing BLM earlier, the COVID, and I knew right away. Trump earlier.
Yeah, that's true.
My DMs are constantly full of people apologizing. So I hold no resentment towards people that hate me that come along later. I'm used to that.
Yeah, I think, you know, that's the thing that, you know, I also spoke out against the vaccine. I spoke out against COVID. I spoke out against BLM, and I was attacked constantly. And then I spoke out about the Ukraine war. I was attacked. I spoke out about Jewish supremacy. Obviously, I was attacked. So I get it, but I'm going to tell the truth anyway. So there's nothing for me to gain, by the way, guys. I got nothing to gain. Zero.
Yeah. Every comment now is going to be full of like hundreds of dudes just talking crap. It gets annoying, but it is what it is. I'm not going to.
I literally don't care. I don't care. I'm old. I'm ugly. I'm fat. I'm a mud shark. Whatever. I don't care, dude. It doesn't matter. I'm still going to tell you the truth. You're not going to shut me down with your personal attacks, and then you're going to see the truth.
Entire country to shut you down. How many? 1.5 billion people or something?
I went up against 1.4 billion people, and I won. Because I had the truth on my side and I was fighting for the truth. And that's how that goes. So will either of you be on the campaign trail for Dan or appear with him before the election? I will absolutely be on the campaign trail.
I'm officially in no ways, but I'll definitely be out there. Unfortunately, I won't be out with him next week, but I'm going to go out there, try to go to the police stations, the jiu-jitsu gyms.
Yep.
I don't know how to do this, but I'm going to try. You know,
I'm going to be out there
too. But I'm going to try. I'll door knock. I'll try to organize some groups when I go out there. I'll put it on my Twitter. So when I'm going out there, hopefully we can get 100 people or so and go door to door, figure out our messaging. So this is brand new to me. We're against a insane machine that knows how to do this, but we have truth on our side.
I agree. And I'm going to be out there doing whatever I can, whatever way, talking to people, trying to convince them. You know, I'll do whatever I can, man. I'm not a big voice. I have my voice. I've got a voice and I'm using it whenever I can. And a lot of times to my own detriment, but Zodakin 6367. So are we to believe that Leonardo is actually canceled, but Nick was fake canceled for 10 years? I'm not saying Nick was fake canceled.
I think he was really canceled. And that's why I did defend Nick. I fought hard to get him back on Twitter. I think it's disgusting.
They took Trump off Twitter. Right. Mm-hmm. That could have been fake. That could have been real. But that happened, too. So if they did it to Trump, of course, they could do it to Nick, even if he was an agent for them.
I lean towards that he was sincere and then he either got corrupted, you know, or he's just an insane egomaniac. That's kind of my opinion. I could be wrong. That's why I lean.
Yeah, towards. I think he's an insane egomaniac. And
that part's definitely true.
My husband's white, guys. Yeah, I don't think that was necessary to say that. I mean,
I've met him. Yeah, people say bad shit that I don't read him. They can just give him money.
He's about as white as you can get. He's Norwegian in Sweden. So That's fine. But and if you don't believe me that I'm canceled,
better than
just
the gay guys
favor,
Nick's sleeping with.
Go call the mothership. Tell them you heard that Leonardo Joni is doing a show there, and let's see what they tell you. Call. Yeah. I mean, literally, I could show text messages of places I'd never been to that comedians just wanted to have me on the spot, and they got a text message that was like, Leonardo Joni cannot play at this club. I never even met these people.
You were booked to play, and you were kicked off right before you were supposed to be on when I went.
Yeah, 2 years ago at the Virgin Atlantic in Vegas, where I was going to meet. I met you for the first time, and then I was going to meet Dan for the first time, and I was going to do I was going to feature actually for a comedian, and they told him like, hey, if she appears on this stage at all in any capacity, the show's canceled. So I couldn't do it.
Yeah. No, I went there to see you, and it was like, oh, I think you were kicked off like right before, basically. That was like
right before. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. And by the way, Nick lived with a gay brown guy, Ron. I think this guy's name. He's like a political.
Yeah, Ali Alexander.
Ali
Alexander, who was shown to be grooming young boys in the Groyper movement so that he could have sex with them.
And that was Nick's roommate. So, guys, listen to this. Would you live with a little gray guy, a gay brown guy that was grooming young boys? I wouldn't.
Yeah.
We shared a bed.
Yep. Yep. Crazy. So, yep. Sorry, guys. Nick Fuentes is not going to be forever. And if he is, that actually means that your country is gone and hopeless.
So, yeah. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
We love you haters, too. Have a good day.